It's time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, fantastic, and welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast. It's great to be with you here today. Going to be talking about a really cool subject, something that a lot of people ask about from time to time. It's how does this whole thing work with God and his infinite nature? But before we jump into that, a couple of quick things. Number one, my new book, Interview with the Antichrist, is available for pre-order right now. Now, it's not releasing until, I think, February the 11th of next year. But you can go ahead and pre-order that right now and get yourself on the list. And you'll definitely get your copy the second that it releases. So just keep that on your radar. Also, the last podcast I was talking about how to reach the next generation, and I think I can't remember, but I think I may have neglected to mention my contact information in terms of those of you who might want to support this ministry or send a donation, a one-time donation to this ministry. Simply go to jeffkinley.com and click on the donate tab, and that'll take you to a page where it's very, very easy to do. You can set up a recurring donation through PayPal or through your bank or your credit card or whatever. Or there's a physical address. If you wanted just to write a check and send to Main Thing Ministries, you could also do that as well. So it's kind of whatever you wanted to do. But I really do appreciate your encouragement and the way that some of you have come alongside this ministry. We need a lot of help in this ministry because there's a lot of big things that God is asking us to do, and we need partners to come alongside and say, Jeff, I'm with you. I want to help you get this word out. And that's what it's all about, is getting God's word out. Okay, so today we're talking about, I'm going to answer two questions, okay, today. And I get asked this question a lot by people who may not have completely thought through the issues. A lot of Christians have this thought as well. But the first question is this: where does God come from? You ever had that thought? Like, where does God come from? Now, that's something that maybe a Christian would ask him or herself. You know, where does God come from? Where is his home? Where did he originate? And the second question related to that, not the second big question we're going to answer, but the second question on this thing is, who created God? Now, typically you have people that are non-Christians who ask that question, and sometimes it's more from a skeptical standpoint. But let's just get at these one by one. Number one, where did God come from? God did not come from anywhere, okay? It's because before God created the world and the universe, there was no such thing as space. And I know that's a hard concept to sort of grasp here, but there was no concept of space or spatiality. Because, see, God is spirit, and he's not a spatial, physical, spatial being. And before there was the universe, presumably there was nothing. Now, again, that's a mind bender, but keep in mind that your brain and my brain is a little Dixie cup, okay? A little cup that you use to brush your teeth with. It's a Dixie cup, and the knowledge of God is the Atlantic Ocean, or pick your own ocean. And you cannot fit that vast amount of knowledge into a very small little cup called your brain, or my brain, our understanding. So therefore, all that to say is that when we say God came from nowhere, it literally means God did not come from anywhere. There was no place for God to come from, because God had not created the concept of place yet. He just was. And if you ever want to humble yourself, think about that. I mean, that is the essence of what God told Moses in Exodus 3:14 in the burning bush, where he says, I am that I am. I just simply am. And I didn't need space or the universe or earth or mankind or any. But I created him. And so God doesn't come from anywhere. It's impossible to imagine God being anywhere else, because he was just himself and Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The second question related to that is, well, who created God? Who created God? If you say God's the creator, then who created God? And there are many different kind of rules that very question breaks. logically. And it's this: when you say who created God, you're saying who created capital G O D. God, by definition, is an uncreated being. Okay? So if he is uncreated, he has no creator. He has always existed, which is what the scripture tells us. He has always existed from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. And so to ask that question is really to ask a fallacious postulation. In other words, it's like saying, how much does justice weigh? Or what color is anger? You can't, those things do not match up. And when you ask that question, who created God, you're saying, who made the God that's never been created? That's what you're saying. Who created the uncreated God? You see, it's a contradictory question. So it's really a dumb question, to be honest. It's a question that people don't really think about unless they don't understand who God really is. Okay, so that's really the first kind of line of questions. Where did God come from? Who created God? All right, the second question is this. And you get this a lot from people who think they finally outsmarted Christians. And the question is, can God create a rock that is so heavy that even he can't lift? I've got you now. Now what are you going to say? Because if you say that God can create a rock that he can't lift, then he is no longer omnipotent because he can't lift it. If you say God can't create a rock that he can't lift, then he's also not all powerful because he can't create that rock. So what is the what's the real answer here? Well, once again, this is a logically absurd question, and a couple of things we need to think about here. Number one, the Bible says in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? And over in Scripture, we have declarations of things that, you know, God is all powerful. There's nothing the Lord can't do, et cetera, et cetera. But the purpose of those statements was not to say that God could not do anything, but that he could not do anything outside of his character and outside of logic. In other words, to ask the question, can God create a rock so big that he himself can't lift, is a self-contradictory scenario. It's a logical contradictory statement. And basically what it's asking is this. I'm going to rephrase the question to make it make more sense. Can an omnipotent being, omnipotent means omni, all, potent, powerful, can an all-powerful being not be all-powerful? That's in essence the question that you're asking. It's similar to the creation, to the creator question we asked a minute ago. Can an omnipotent being create a scenario where he is no longer omnipotent? Answer, no. Can God create a rock that is so heavy that he himself cannot lift? The answer is no, he can't. And the reason he can't be is because it's logically impossible to do. God cannot create a square circle. You know, God cannot make a married bachelor. It's these things are contradictory. They don't coexist at the same time. So to say that God can create a rock or can't create a rock any bigger than somewhat bigger than he can himself lift is saying that God has to be omnipotent to create a rock so big, but then he has to turn around and be not omnipotent in order to not be able to lift it. So it's a contradictory statement. So of course God can't do that. But guess what? There are many things that God cannot do. Many things that God can't do. You say, whoa, Jeff, I thought that God can do anything. No, there are many things God can't do. God can't lie. Titus 1:2, Hebrews 6:18, the Bible says God cannot lie. The Bible also says that that he cannot deny his own character or his own self. 2 Timothy 2:13 says that. Logically, God cannot cease to exist. God can't commit suicide. God can't will himself out of existence. Now on the cross, Jesus Christ said it is finished, and he willed his spirit to the Father, but he did not cease to exist. So God can't cease to exist. He can't cease to be. We know also that God cannot sin. He can't sin at all. The Bible says that God cannot be tempted by evil. James 1:13. So that's something that God can't do. He cannot be tempted by sin and by evil. The Bible says that God can't, he can't learn anything. God can't learn anything. You ever thought about that? There is nothing that has been or that will be that God cannot know or that he doesn't know. And that's what we call God's omniscience. Omni meaning all, science meaning knowledge. He has all knowledge. Now, when we say that God has all knowledge, we're talking about the fact that God not only knows everything that has been, but everything that will be, and also everything that actually could be. You say, whoa, 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 how does that work? Well, think about this. God knows all the possibilities. God knows things that no one knows. He knows the number of atoms that it takes to make up this desk or this computer or this Bible here. God knows the number of hairs on our head. God knows all the possibilities of all the infinite possibilities that could possibly be in the universe. He's calculated them all, and his mind is so vast that when he acts and when he chooses a path or he reveals a truth, then we should trust him because he has all knowledge. So think about this for a second. When God issues a decree, when he says this is righteous or over here this is evil, when he says those things, it is coming from a mind that has all knowledge and all wisdom. And that's why the Bible asks us to trust in the Lord. So why do we trust in the Lord? We trust in the Lord because he has more knowledge than we do. And he is able to see the end from the beginning from the end, and to know which is the best path for us to take. So logically, it makes sense to trust God instead of ourselves because he's smarter than we are. He knows where to go. You know, when you go somewhere like you may go to a state park outside, or to, you know, may go hiking somewhere. You may go to, you know, see some sightseeing thing, you know, like Yellowstone or whatever. And people will take like a guide with them. And the reason they take a guide is because they don't know the way themselves. And you trust in the guide to take you where you yourself don't know what where the path is. And that's when we say God can't learn anything, we're saying that there's no new information that comes into his mind. So one of the things that tells us is that God knew everything you were going to do in your life, and yet he loved you anyway. His love remained constant, even though he knew, even after you became a Christian, and I became a Christian, the number of times that we would fail him and deny him and walk away from him at times, he knew all that ahead of time, but it did not change his opinion on us, and it didn't change his love for us. I'll tell you something else God can't do. He can't forget anything either. You say, whoa, whoa, Jeff, now wait a minute. I'm going to challenge you on that one. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, I believe it's verse 12. Yeah. It says, I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. I'll remember their sins no more. So right there it says God can forget things, right? No, I'm sorry. That's not what that means. When it says that God forgets our sins or doesn't remember our sins anymore, the word he's using there is a word in context, which means that even though he has knowledge of those things do not affect his present relationship with us because of the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross. So when God wipes away our sins, when he remembers our sins no more, the reason that he can do that justly as a just God is because Christ has paid for our sins. So even though we remember these things, even though he remembers these things, he doesn't allow those things to affect his current and present relationship with us. So it's as if he doesn't remember them. That's what it's saying there. God can't forget anything. If God forgot anything, then he would not be God. So he knows it all still, but those past sins do not affect his present relationship with us and our relationship with him, because Christ has paid for our sins. So when we talk about things that God can't do, my friend, there are many things that God can't do, but they're all within the confines of his character. There are many things that God would never do and will never do. Guess what? God will never stop loving you. I mean, think about that. That's something God can't do. God can't stop loving you. He can't. Now, not because he's under some sort of moral obligation from a higher power, from a higher standard. No, he has obliged himself to love us and to have a relationship with us and to even seek a relationship with us. That's something that God initiated towards us and that he wanted to give to us, and then he bound himself to it. And, you know, we talked about in a previous podcast about, hey, can we lose our salvation? No, you can't lose your salvation because God is the one who has bound himself into an eternal relationship with us. And as we saw from Romans chapter 8, every person who is predestined and called and justified, all those people will be glorified. So when you think about things that God can't do, there are many, many, many things that God can't do and that he will never do, and that we never have to worry about God doing. You know, we never have to worry about whether or not God will love us. We never have to worry about whether or not God one day will just say, you know what? I'm really sorry I gave you salvation. I think I'd like to take it back. Or that God will be angry with us as he is angry with the wicked. You know, God's not going to be angry with us. Romans 8:1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So God is never going to be angry with you. He's never going to be so upset with you that he's going to break any of his promises, which, by the way, is another thing that God can't do. God can't break any of his unconditional promises that he's made to us. Now, I want to read just a couple of verses here as we wrap this thing up. This is from Daniel, because, you know, we don't want to end by focusing in on all the things that God can't do. By the way, the things that God can't do are good things. They're not things to lament, oh, I wish God could cease to exist or sin or any of these things, break his promises. Or, you know, God also says he will never leave us or forsake us. And Hebrews 13, I think it's verse 5, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus also said that. So there are many things that God can't do, but we don't want to focus on just the things that he can't do. Let's focus on something that he does. And I want to read out of the book of Daniel here. And this is the account of Nebuchadnezzar. And if you know Nebuchadnezzar's story, he thought he was all that in a bag of chips. And God brought him to his knees and caused his hair to grow out like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And he was eating grass like cows. And he just went insane, which goes to show you that that's what pride will do to you. It'll just drive you insane and living a life without God. But at the end of, he finally came to his senses here. Listen to what it says in Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 34. It says, "But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me." Well, that's what happens when you come back to God. You start thinking right. "And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" And he goes on to say, verse 37, he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride." That's what God can do. God can humble the proud. God can execute his plans in humanity, and no one can stop God's will and God's grand prophetic clock. We are moving on a date with destiny, and God's going to bring it all to pass. You know why? Because He can, and because He wants to. Hey, that's the Vintage Truth Podcast today. Join me next time. We'll cover another incredible topic together. Hope you have a fantastic week. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.